Wave Sports.
Jay Wright better than Tom Izzo?
Yeah. Give me Jay Wright every day.
But if you're talking about collectively the entire career, the resume, look, Izzo's been to what, 7 Final Fours? It's ridiculous. How many Final Fours has Jay Wright been to?
Doesn't matter. Again, he's been to 2, he's got 1. Final Fours, you get there, you don't make it. That's not impressing me.
Plus, I'd say Izzo kind of went into a cush job there.
Wait,
guys.
Hold on.
7 Final Fours.
That doesn't impress you?
You're talking about longevity with a coach that was just eliminated by an 11 seed against the number one team in the country.
Weekends at 10 p.m. right here on Fox Sports.
When things come out of left field, it can help if you have a game plan. Luckily, you can prepare with the practical insurance knowledge that Farmers Insurance has gained from more than 90 years of experience. Talk with an experienced Farmers agent today so you can decide if your coverage is ready for whatever it is that may come your way. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Discover coverage solutions and more at Farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
The biggest flooring event of the year is here. Lumber Liquidators 15th Annual April Sale. Every floor in stock is on sale. Now's your chance to get pre-finished hardwood up to 40% off. Water-resistant laminate up to 33% off. Worry-proof your home with waterproof floors as low as 39 cents. Get special clearance deals at your local store while supplies last. Plus, special financing and professional installation. Don't miss it. The 15th Annual April Sale is going on now at Lumber Liquidators.
KRLV Las Vegas.
Now, time for the official Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Harnish on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM.
Red Wings have it again. Cut off though by Tuck. Cuts into the zone. 2-on-1. Tuck right circle. He shoots and scores! Schmidt to the left for Carlson. Now Smith, he scores! Rips it over the glove of Jeff Glass. Vegas takes the lead 3-2. Right side in the middle and a shot. Fought off, it's loose. They score! Carpenter! Knights coming towards center. Here comes Carlson. Ahead with Schmidt, 2-on-1. Carlson on the right. He waits. He shoots. He scores! Hat-trick Carlson!
We are Vegas strong.
And welcome in. Good Thursday to you. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM 1340 AM. Your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. Full studio today. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman. Also going to be joined by our good friend Connor McGahee in a little bit. But Clayton, I don't know about you, but it seems like, and Ryan as well, I know people are coming up to me all the time saying, well, you got a couple days off, huh? And it's like, well, I don't know how other people spend their days off, but we still have to go to practices and that. We were over at City National today. There's a skate tomorrow. And last night, what I did was I channel surfed and watched hockey.
Yeah, so did I. It was a double dip, and it'll be the same tonight. So we'll catch the East Coast games, then the West Coast games, and continue from there.
Yeah, I ended up watching hockey last night, but I don't really have much else of a life, and really, my kids like it, so it works for me. It really does.
But now, wait a second. If you have a wife and kids, you
have more of a life than we have. You're absolutely right, but I mean, what I'm saying is during the week, my daughter goes to school, she comes home, she does homework, so in between doing homework and feeding the baby and then feeding the kids and making sure that they're happy and healthy, then I watch hockey.
Okay.
So really, I mean, like, you guys can go out, you know, grab a bite.
No.
I stay in. I feed the kids. I don't even feed myself. I just feed the kids.
I have a big screen TV and I have a refrigerator. I go nowhere. I mean, that's what I do. Though I will say it was kind of strange last night going to the Golf Channel to watch hockey.
It was really weird because all the promos that they run for the Golf Channel in between on commercial breaks was strange.
You know that's just NBC's response to NHL pulling out of the Olympics. Like, okay, you don't want to send your best players to the Olympics. That's fine. We'll put your premier sporting event, your playoffs on the Golf Channel.
So you're saying that after the Olympics in China that they will be back on the major networks, NBC Sports, NBC and
CNBC.
No, because Gary Bettman would never lie and he said that they're not going to China.
Okay, so they're just going to do preseason games over there, and they're going to do everything else over there. They're going to China for everything. Wayne Gretzky just signed a contract to promote hockey in China, but they're doing everything but play the Olympics.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Well, I certainly hope you're absolutely wrong about
that. Me too.
But I know we're going to get some hockey news here as well. But, Ryan, we haven't had a chance to talk to you because you took a much-deserved day off yesterday. We have Bob Ibaka calling here in a little bit to talk about a very cool commemorative collector's thing that you can be getting. But you were at Staples Center. Yes. Chris chimed in and let us know what he thought about the environment and everything. How was it there? And did you hear the Beat LA chants in Staples Center? Because Chris said he heard some.
I heard some Beat LA chants. And credit goes to Staples Center for trying to kind of snuff that out a little bit at the beginning. But once the series was over, and I took the elevator down, and I'm walking into the Kings locker room, and it was just this beautiful juxtaposition of what I was about to do based on what I was hearing. I was hearing "Go Knights Go" chanting through the hallways of Staples Center as I walked into a dejected LA Kings locker room with their season being over. It was fantastic. I can't say enough good things about the Vegas fans and traveling and being there and witnessing that history. And there were more Knights fans game four than there were game three. And I think that has a lot to do with LA Kings fans selling off their tickets because they just didn't want to see him lose.
And I mean, the sweep and everything else. And now we've had two sweeps so far, and both of them, the teams facing each other.
But the whole building accepted it before the game even started. I mean, like, that was the energy in the building. Like, when LA didn't score in the first period, the entire place knew what was going to happen. Vegas was going to get a goal, they were going to clamp it down, and they were going to win this game and this series. Nobody in LA believed. Nobody.
And they certainly had plenty of time to make peace with it, and I think that's sort of what they went into that game with.
Yeah, so, all right, so you were there in LA. I mean, you're from Southern California, so you know the air and everything.
Uh-huh.
What, you mentioned that they kind of accepted it and everything, and you talked about the atmosphere.
Yep.
Did the atmosphere, was it even less than in game four than it was in game three if they kind of accepted it and they were basically waiting to get the loss?
You know, game four felt like there was more atmosphere to it just for me, but that's mainly because I was actually down on the lower section of Media Row. I wasn't up and back in like an office building. So I felt like I could kind of get a sense that the crowd was louder. But, you know, when I asked some of the people that were actually in the crowd, they said that the crowd was better in game three than it was game four. And once Vegas scored, once it kind of got to that point where you knew LA wasn't going to come back, it was very quiet with the exception of Chris Sutter dancing. That was basically it. Like, Chris Sutter dancing, Cartman, that was LA's series. It really was.
Well, I know Ed Graney said that he did enjoy the music there because I guess they played a lot of classic rock or whatever. But outside of that, maybe not a lot of reason for them to dance or whatever. But, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights have had an incredible season up to this point. The season continues on. Hopefully it will go on another few rounds, and who knows what can happen at the end of it all. But if you want a part of the history of this season, joining us right now, our good friend, Mr. Bob Ibaka. And Bob, how you been? I know that you're excited about what Vegas did in the first round of the playoffs, and you still got some of those collective pucks available, I believe.
Yeah, we do. We're probably poured in around halfway sold out when we started this, and it's just a great, what a season. I mean, I've seen a lot of hockey in my time, and I covered the Philadelphia Flyers many years ago before I got out of the newspaper business and went with the Chicago Cubs for 10 years as their PR director. But, you know, what the Golden Knights have done is so historic, and I'm just so happy, you know, first season out in Las Vegas to be able to come forth and not only win 51 games, which was a record, but to go on and get into the playoffs, then sweep the first round, another history-making event. And we've put together a really nice collectible set of four hockey pucks that are being produced. Everything is licensed and approved by the NHL. And there are only 5,000 of these four puck sets that are being made. They're priced at just $99, and it's going to help raise funds for the Golden Knights Foundation, which is just a great group locally. They help out Las Vegas youth, the Las Vegas military, first responders, also do a lot of great work for those folks fighting hunger and homelessness in the community. So a big salute to everything that they've done, the Golden Knights Foundation, and portion of the proceeds from what we're doing are going to go to the Golden Knights Foundation. And in a moment, I'll give out a toll-free number and a website how you can get these four hockey pucks, very distinctive, for just $99. Only 5,000 will ever be produced. They all come with a numbered certificate of authenticity. But before I give out that number and website, I do want to point out what each puck kind of looks like. The first one salutes the Golden Knights record-setting, the 51 wins they got in their first year, which is a record for an expansion National Hockey League team. The second puck has a whole bunch of information on there about them winning the Pacific Division title. It'll chronicle all the results of each Stanley Cup playoff series. Of course, that big 4-0 sweep against the Los Angeles Kings are going to be on there. On to the next round against San Jose. The third puck and the fourth puck recognize two of the outstanding players on the team. Marc-Andre Fleury, the tremendous goaltender, just been remarkable in that first series. They have a photograph of Fleury along with some of his statistics on that hockey puck. And the second puck was their leading scorer this year, Wild Bill Carlson, who had 42 goals and played in all 82 games during the regular season. That is a tribute to him. So you'll get all four of these hockey pucks. Each one comes in their own individual acrylic display case with a stunning-looking gold base. If you'd like to see these, we have a website set up. You can also call to order them. The toll-free number is 1-800-345-2868. That's 1-800-345-2868. You can go right to the website if you can't get through the phone lines, because I know they'll be busy. Everybody wants a piece of this. NikoSports.com, NikoSports.com. You can see all four of the hockey pucks there. And these will be sent to you 4 weeks after they play their final game. And we're hoping we're talking about sometime in early June. So that would mean they're in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Right, so the pucks are basically still in production in that, because you don't know exactly what the design is, because you don't know what Marc-Andre Fleury's final stats are going to be after that incredible first round and how deep they're going to go and everything. So everything's planned out, but I imagine that there's still a couple of finalizations to put in here, and hopefully the end of it will have a little Stanley Cup action on it.
Hey, listen, that's what we're looking forward to doing. So yeah, these are about 80% put together, but like you mentioned, Frank, we're going to go ahead and add the updated statistics on there. So no matter when you ordered, I know we talked last week, whether you got them then or whether you get them now, they'll have the final results on there. So, you know, if you're looking for a Father's Day gift, you're looking for something for a graduation, maybe I know a couple people that I've talked to have also ordered these. They've gotten 2 and 3 sets so they could use them for fundraisers, maybe for a church event or a silent auction, maybe at a golf outing. There's so many things you can do with these, and they look stunning. I got a chance to see a prototype of one the other day, and I had some people coming in here in Chicago where I reside, and they were talking, where did you get that hockey set? That is stunning looking. So it is really nice. It's sharp looking. When you go to the website, you'll be able to see it for yourself.
All right, and once again, that's Niko Sports, NikoSports.com, or you can call them directly, 1-800-345-2868. That's 1-800-345-2868. Only 5,000 of these are going to be produced with the certificate and everything, so you want to be part of the history. You want a nice little thing to put on the coffee table or maybe frame up or something like that. A very cool item, just another way to celebrate this incredibly successful season of the Vegas Golden Knights, their inaugural year.
Well, listen, Frank, I do appreciate your station and yourself for the support for the Golden Knights Foundation. Just a great group, and we'll keep on checking back with you occasionally and seeing how long this run can go. But I got a good feeling that they're going to be in the Cup Finals.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. That would certainly be the culmination and the perfect ending to this storybook tale. So have a good weekend, Bob, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Frank, you have a good day, too. Bye-bye
right,
now.
Thanks a lot. Bob back there once again with NikoSports.com, 1-800-345-2868. All right, so we know what the Golden Knights are doing, but Clayton, I believe there's some other stuff going on in hockey as well, and we've been so busy with Golden Knights talk, and we're going to be joined by our friend Connor McGahey from AT&T Sportsnet in the second segment today, but let's take a look at some of the news going on.
A lot of news happening, and it all has to do with suspensions and hits and what is a suspendable hit and what is not. some discipline being levied by the Department of Player Safety. First, with Josh Morrissey in Winnipeg, the defenseman has been suspended for one game for cross-checking Minnesota Wild forward Eric Staal during game four of their first round series.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Staal is a tall guy. He's even taller when you put him on ice skates, and he was cross-checked in the head. So how that wasn't a penalty in the game, I don't really understand. I'm fine with the suspension because, again, you can't hit guys in the head. You just can't. Whether it's a cross-check, whether it's a shoulder, whether it's blindside, whatever the case may be, if you hit somebody in the head, you should probably be suspended.
Yeah, and you know, and like you said, not only that, but for Eric Staal, you kind of got to go out of your way and try to hit him in the head because yeah. He is a taller guy. I mean, some guys you just kind of hit and they're that level if you're a little bit taller and your shoulder gets there or something like that. But with Eric Staal, you're kind of working at it.
Yeah, you're trying. You're trying to hit it. Like, there's no way you cross-check Eric Staal in the head and you say that you did it by accident. There's just no way.
Yeah, it's certainly not the case where both players are traveling at speed and maybe the skater that got hit dipped or the target moved, the target didn't move. You skated up to him, you took your stick, and you hit him in the head with it. So
Morrissey, I agree. I believe that was a warranted suspension.
This one just coming down today. Ryan Hartman of Nashville was suspended for one game for his illegal check to the Avalanche forward Carl Soderberg during game four of their Western Conference playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, the Hartman hit is pretty similar, in my opinion at least, to the Drew Doughty hit on William Carrier in that he... He traveled across. It really was avoidable. It didn't need to be a headshot. And to be honest with you, I can see the hockey play aspect of Drew Doughty's hit significantly more than I can see Ryan Hartman's, because Ryan Hartman was running around in that game like a goon. He punched. He got into an altercation. Now, he was speared, and I give him that. Like, he was speared. That should have been a call. It wasn't a call. But he ended up holding onto the stick and then fighting and then dropping the gloves with an opponent who didn't drop the gloves, which should have been an additional penalty, and then ends up punching a guy in the face before he goes and takes a headshot. So I'm totally fine with the Ryan Hartman suspension. I probably wouldn't have even cared if it was two games, but at least there's a little bit of consistency with the Department of Player Safety.
Let me just ask you this, though, because from the way you described it and that, and I kind of saw the same stuff that you did out there, because when I first saw this hit, I kind of echoed back to days of yesterday when Brad May and guys like that were playing, and I'd like to get his thoughts on this kind of stuff, because when I first saw that, I thought, okay, this is an old-fashioned playoff hockey hit, but it is different today with the head and the concussion protocol and everything else out there. Do you think he gets a suspension if he didn't have all that other stuff going on in that game? If it was just the hit and that was his only offense of the game without the dropping the gloves and the holding the stick and running around like a madman, do they still suspend him, or was this a culmination of that entire evening?
No, I don't think it was a culmination. I think that they suspended him for the hit and for the hit alone, because if they would have given more, maybe two games or three games, then I think they would have taken into account retaliation and stuff like that. But I don't think that they did. It reminds me, like I said, of pretty similar hits to the Drew Doughty hit and pretty similar circumstances too. I mean, Doughty was getting run all game. He didn't like it. Obviously, I don't think, as I'm watching it back, that he was trying to hurt anybody. I think he just missed his hit. I don't think it's the same with Hartman. I think he was trying to make that hit, but he disguised it enough to look like it might actually be a hockey play.
And that begs the question from earlier in that series with the PK Subban punch to the back of the head that went unpunished, unreviewed, unlooked at.
Yeah, I mean, that series, that game last night really was incredibly chippy. It was probably one of the more chippy games in the playoffs, at least that I've watched. And, you know, we can talk about suspensions all day long. We can talk about that until we're blue in the face. The fact of the matter is the Department of Player Safety isn't always going to get it right. But at some point, you have to start taking a look at the players that play this game. And you have to say, where's the respect between opponents? Because there isn't any. Like, we've had, what, three or four questionable headshots in the first round of the playoffs? Why? Like, you don't want that to happen to you. These players have zero respect for each other. And that's the problem. That's the epidemic.
It almost seems like they're going out there and they're trying to see how far they can push the envelope and what warrants a suspension and what doesn't. And I'm glad that you brought up the PK Subban thing, because I thought that hit was worse than some of this other stuff we've seen. And then when I saw him yesterday come up with a quote of saying, I would do it again, I'm wondering if he does it again, does he get suspended if he does it again, since he just basically, and not even basically, he literally came out and said, I would do this again, I will do this again. Okay, if the first time you give him a mulligan and say, well, you know, maybe it wasn't intentional, now you know that he's looking to do this and saying, I'm not going to shy back from it. Does he get suspended if he does the exact same thing, and does that send a mixed message if they do?
They got to do something, right? I mean, if you have PK Subban and he says, oh, you know what? I get away with a punch to the back of the head. I'm going to do it again.
I mean, I agree with you. I think they should too, but it's kind of weird. It's like, well, then if you're going to do it, then it should be done every time.
Right. And this is going to become part of what the referees have to do to police the game. Because if you have PK Subban saying flat out, I got away with one and I'm going to keep doing it. If you're the referee on the ice and you see that happen and you don't call it, you shouldn't be allowed to work any more games.
Yeah, I actually thought it was dumb that Subban came out and said that.
But like if like if Department of Player Safety isn't going to suspend you and you're doing something that egregious, you don't deserve to play the game. The referees, if they don't call it, don't deserve to call the game. And if Department of Player Safety can't take that stand, then don't talk to me about concussions. Don't talk to me about player safety. Don't talk to me about that being your initiative to keep out and look out for the health of these players, because you don't have one. You don't care. If guys are allowed to punch guys in the face, you don't care about their safety.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Wallace, looking at news around the league. And Sammy Vatanen of the New Jersey Devils, he is questionable for Game 5 because of a hit from Nikita Kucherov that many people are saying looked exactly like the Drew Doughty hit. The NHL Department of Player Safety saying they are not going to review it, that his target area was the shoulder, not the head.
The more I look at it, the more I tend to agree that it was more shoulder than it was head. It might have even been like 90% shoulder and then head a little bit on the follow through. I'm not a big fan of these hits. Like I don't like hits from the side because you're not looking to separate the man from the puck. You're looking to deliver a big, heavy, hard, crushing hit. You are. I mean, there's no place where Sammy Vatanen is there and Nikita Kucherov is coming in on him at his angle that makes Sammy Vatanen even a threat to move the puck into an area where it's going to be threatening, where you have to separate him from the puck. I don't like the hit, but I can understand it not being suspendable.
The fact that they're not even giving it a hearing or something like that, is that kind of the equivalent of the NFL when they do a review and they say the call is confirmed as opposed to the call is upheld or whatever? It's basically saying we don't have enough to overturn it or something. Because this to me is kind of saying, like, look, we looked at that. We don't need a hearing on it because it was clean. And it almost makes you think, like, basically whenever they say there's going to be a hearing, it's just how many games is somebody going to be suspended or how much are they going to be fined? Because when there is a hearing, it seems like they have enough that they're just going to try to figure out what your punishment is.
Yeah, and it's almost like we would love to see one of those videos, right, about why the Kucherov hit was not suspendable versus why the Hartman hit is and the Doughty hit is. Like, we get the videos for why they're suspendable acts, but we don't get the video for why Nikita Kucherov is going to get to play in Game 4. And they can give us an explanation, but we know that most of the information the NHL gives out when it comes to that stuff is lacking at best. So, I mean, it's going to be difficult to swallow for fan bases in Nashville and fan bases in LA when they take a look at the perception of the Nikita Kucherov hit and it's not suspendable and their guys are sitting. More information is never a bad thing when we at least can figure out what is going through the minds of these guys when they're making these calls.
The other thing that I'm curious about, too, is I'm wondering if in Los Angeles they're even a little bit more ticked off, because you can say, okay, PK Subban, Nikita Kucherov, superstar treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Then why didn't Drew Doughty get it? He's a superstar. He's up for awards every year. I mean, it's a whole can of worms. We could, summer we'll do a whole show on this kind of stuff and get in a panel and look at some stuff. But we got our buddy Connor McGahee. He's going to be coming up here next. So still lots to get to here. Getting ready for round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. How sweet does that sound? Not as sweet as round three in Stanley Cup finals, but it sounds pretty darn sweet here. We'll talk to Connor next, get his thoughts about the Golden Knights and other things going around the NHL as well. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights. Welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Wallace, Chris Chapman, and now joined by one of our favorite people. Who says that television people are different and they're not humble and down-to-earth and good guys? Here's the foundation of AT&T Sportsnet and their sports broadcasting crew, Mr. Connor McGahee joins us. Easy for me to say. Connor, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, Frank, after that, how could I be terrible? That was amazing. Thanks, brother.
Well,
how are you guys?
We're doing well, but, you know, not as well as you look in those suits every time.
Oh, stop it. You say that to everybody.
Actually, I really don't.
No, he doesn't. Frank, I've never heard Frank compliment another man's wardrobe. This is a first.
Hey, you know what? No, it's great. If I can impress Frank, I can impress anybody.
That's true.
So, okay.
How are we doing?
We're all doing great. Looking forward to round two of the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs here. But let's backtrack a little bit in round one. You were there. Chris, Ryan, Helen Yee all went from our radio station. I know a lot of the newspaper guys were there. Clayton and I got to go to Parkway Tavern, which we loved, and had a blast watching everything. And, you know, we got to take care of the local crowd here as well. But what was it like for you there? Because everybody I've heard that went there said, you know, it was cool and the fans were excited, but it still just didn't compare to T-Mobile Arena.
No, it really didn't. I think, and Brad May, who's been obviously around a long time, has said when he used to work for the Buffalo Sabres and for Sportsnet in Canada, I mean, he's been to every NHL building, and he says that T-Mobile is the best fan environment he's seen, without a doubt. And LA was fine, but even the Vegas fans who showed up were loud. Especially at certain points of the national anthem, were very loud, and I don't want to say we get spoiled with the atmosphere at T-Mobile Arena, but T-Mobile is spectacular and was T-Mobile is about three times louder than Staples Center was at any point in games 3 and 4. It was, but I'll tell you what, Vegas fans who made the trip were wonderful. I talked to a lot of them. And they were just spectacular. So it was fun on Sunday and Tuesday night.
The big question is: did Dave Gosher and Shane Knighty, did it cost you supper for those guys to have to use their booth for the pregame show?
it was so funny because it was like Keystone Cops, like beforehand, and I have to put, you know, Dave has things set up a certain way, and then I got to put that back because I don't want to mess him up at all, and. Because there was nowhere else to go inside the arena. They either had everything sold, and there's not a whole lot of spaces for media. The spot that we get at T-Mobile Arena is actually one of the best in the league and a good vantage point up there, the party deck. And nothing like that was available. So our option was the booth, and we just said to say, okay, guys, the Z team's coming in here. A team out, Z team in for intermission. And, but no, they were gracious enough to rent us their space for about 15 minutes.
Well, I know that Shane Knighty's a pretty tough guy, but with LaCroix and May there, it would be a handicap match, and my money would be on you guys.
100%. I would not do a thing. And I think Dave and I would sit there and watch the other three duke it out. Dave and
you can
Dave
on the camera.
Play by play. I do intermissions, and we'd analyze that throwdown because those are three tough customers between Brad May, Eric Lacroix, and Shane Knighty.
You know, it was interesting too to be up in that press box and see just how close you really were to the fans. It felt like you were right on top of them, and it felt like there might have been some interesting conversations between fans. Did you pick up on anything?
Not necessarily. There's one guy, both games, it was the same guy, and he would not stop staring at the back. He kept, like, whispering something. He'd turn around and just stare and then whisper back. And we all smiled and said, hey, how's it going? And he was just unsure of what we were doing there. But it was pretty close. And I'll tell you what, again, especially in game 4 on Tuesday, that whole section to our right, sort of right in front of you, Ryan, mm-hmm. was—I mean, there was two whole rows of Golden Knights fans that were silencing the rest of the crowd there, that were wearing just black and gray. But Yeah, there are some interesting characters in the top row there, no doubt.
Yeah, and my favorite part about it is he wasn't confused about what you guys were doing there. He was just turning around to look at the more interesting product because what the LA Kings were doing on the ice was not very good hockey.
Oh, yeah, he said, look at Brad May's pocket square. Look at that thing. That's it. How does he do that? Amazing. But, yes, it was the fact that, and Ryan, I don't know how much you guys have talked about this, but as far as the on-ice product goes in Southern California, both L.A. and the Anaheim Ducks have been known for heavy hockey, right? I mean, have mm-hmm. you seen maybe the change overnight of the game in the NHL, especially as far as postseason goes, where heavy hockey may be going away? St. Louis doesn't make the postseason. L.A., Anaheim are out in speed. Speed is now king, especially in the regular season and maybe now even in the postseason. And yeah. I think L.A. was maybe banking on more of a heavy series, but give Vegas a lot of credit that they were able to almost match physicality and outsmart that game as well.
You know, I'm glad that you brought that up because when you look at the first 20 minutes in Game 3 and you look at the first 20 minutes in Game 4, you say, oh my God, LA came out and they really took it to Vegas. They really were hitting everything. But then you look at the final hit totals over the final 40 minutes, and it's like LA wasn't able to touch the Golden Knights. So if you can't continue to play that heavy game, I think that's kind of where the series was lost for the Kings, in that if they would have been able to match that pace for 60 minutes, they probably would have come out on the right end a couple of times. But they just ran out of steam, and Vegas is just so disciplined and so fast that once LA started to backtrack a little bit, their speed really took over.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's probably a different story if they're able to get another goal past Marc-Andre Fleury, obviously in Game 4, but in Game 3. They're up 1-0. And 1-0 is not insurmountable for the Vegas Golden Knights. You have a 2- and a 3- goal lead on home ice, and that's a different story. And then that energy is easier to sustain over 60 minutes instead of 20 minutes. But because they couldn't get anything past number 29, I think that is frustrating. And that really, you know, yeah, you can come out with all the energy and all the hits in the world in the first 20 minutes, but if you don't have the offense that goes along with that, then that energy level is harder to sustain. And Vegas has showed, almost an under-talked-about subject, that, you know, they have endurance, and they can go the same speed in minute one that they can in minute 60 or minute 95, as was the case the other night. So that's something LA wasn't able to do, and it may have been one of the most overlooked factors in the series, I think.
Now, Connor, you may find this hard to believe, but we spoke to Gerard Gallant earlier today, and he said that he is unable to look any further than tomorrow. But we know that you're able to look all the way deep into next week. And as San Jose is on the horizon, what are you preparing in your notes? What are you looking for out of this team?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's the thing with the divisional playoffs is they're familiar foes all the time. You know exactly what you're going to get. And I heard Gerard say, he probably said that to you guys, sorry I wasn't able to listen earlier, but he said that on Sportsnet yesterday. He said that, you know, we will prepare for the San Jose Sharks like we have all season long. We know exactly what the big factors are, the latest big factor being Evander Kane. But the San Jose Sharks, you know, they have good goaltending as well. Martin Jones gets his 20th career playoff win last night over the Ducks, but again, it'll be a goaltending battle. Probably not as good a battle as it was in round number one with Jonathan Quick. But of course, Burns, Pavelski, and Kane are all going to be a big deal. And Vegas knows exactly what they're going to get from the Sharks, and they've been successful against San Jose. So I would expect nothing different out of Vegas. And I mean, and I wouldn't expect Gerard to say anything else. we've come to learn that's exactly the answer you're going to get, which is not necessarily a bad thing out of your head coach.
Connor McGahee from AT&T Sportsnet's joining us here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Connor, one thing that we hear in hockey all the time from people is rust versus rest. Obviously, that's not a factor in this one from the fact that both teams are having about the same amount of time, but the longer layoff with both teams getting sweeps in the first round, do you think it benefits one team more than the other? Because I look at it as both of these teams have a chance now to try to get maybe the healthiest they've been all season long, or at least in a long, long time.
Yeah, I think it benefits both teams the exact same, Frank. And I think that, it'll be good. It'll make for almost an even better series. For us, Marc-Andre Fleury has had to be on his A game, and you know, he'll welcome some bodily rest and some rest for the mind as well. So the good news is that all the series are going to start at and around the same time, probably the 26th. And it's good that, you know, a couple years ago, there would be one series that would go seven, and they'd have a day off, and they'd play 2 days later the team that had swept the team before that. They finally figured that out and fixed the schedule where everyone's going to start on the same time. So this is about as even as it gets. The only two sweeps in the first round, and they're going to meet each other. And I think rest will benefit them both because, like you said, that might be the healthiest they can get. We might get Lucas Pisa back, and yeah, so things are about as even Stevens as they can get here in the Pacific Division.
Both teams coming off sweeps like they are, do you see either coach making any changes, or are they going to go with the guys that have got them to this point?
Oh, yeah, not a chance. I mean, knowing both Pete DeBoer and Gerard Gallant, it's going to be the exact same, and they're going to have learned lessons from playing each other in the season, and each team has scouts watching their other games as well. So they'll compile that information, but stylistically, work ethic-wise, I mean, San Jose's got to know that they have to outwork Vegas. That's what happened to L.A. in this series, is they got outworked a lot of times, and Vegas would survive some storms, and then just outwork them. That was the recipe that got things done back in October, November, and December, and Vegas has reapplied that, and I wouldn't expect anything less. So San Jose is going to need to outwork Vegas and going to have to come up with some big saves from Martin Jones, who, let's be honest, maybe numbers may have been better during the regular season, but does not have the playoff pedigree, despite winning 20 playoff games that Jonathan Quick does. So Jones is going to have to match Marc-Andre Fleury, and with a goals against average that's under one, I mean, that's unheard of. You have a save percentage over 970 and a goals against average under one. That's almost unheard of in the postseason. So Martin Jones may be looking at that and thinking that he has his sharpens up as well. But regardless, it's going to be a fantastic second round.
And kind of on the topic of Martin Jones and looking at him and watching him play, lateral movement might be the one aspect of his game that isn't at the level he probably wants it to be or that it should be to be an elite goaltender in this league. So when you look at how the Golden Knights get a lot of their offense, at least how they did throughout the regular season in transition on two-on-ones, three-on-twos, I think that really matches up well against a goalie like Martin Jones, who is not exactly the best when it comes to lateral movement.
No, he's not. It was funny on the McNabb goal the other night. It was, you know, two-on-one, and we're both saying this to Smith up there, shoot, 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 and he passes, and we're going, pass, pass, pass. You know, and obviously, Quick, as good as he is laterally, wasn't able to get over there in time. And that's something that Marc-Andre Fleury's been spectacular at. Our friend Kevin Weeks was talking two nights ago about Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't just go laterally. It's to be able to move and also stop, but he also goes forward in the crease. Mm-hmm. So Fleury is smart enough not just to be able to go right to left, but to be able to go right to left and then forward in the crease to be able to cut down the angle. And that's why he was able to get to that Kopitar shot. And Martin Jones, I don't know if he is not, Ryan, you're right, shown the ability to do that as much. And you talk about goaltender IQ. And I'm sure he watches tape like everybody else. And he watches that from Marc-Andre Fleury and is thinking, I never really thought of that. How do we get that? And so that's what he, right, has not been good at. But that was the only way that Vegas was able to crack Jonathan Quick, is left to right, quick passing play. I think Carpenter to Cody Eakin, I think Riley Smith to Braden McNabb. Mm-hmm. And that was the answer to solve Jonathan Quick, and that's probably going to be the answer to solve Martin Jones as well.
Yeah, I saw that piece that Kevin Weeks was doing on and that save on Kopitar, and I thought it was amazing what he did. And he said how he's as good as he's ever been, but he's even smarter now because he's played a lot of years and he does play aggressively like that. But it is interesting because you mentioned how Marc-Andre Fleury an over 970 save percentage. Well, Martin Jones had a 970 himself right on the button, giving up one goal a game, four goals in four games as well. So I guess one of the questions is, here in the playoffs, with every round you're probably getting even better quality opponents and that kind of stuff, can both of these goaltenders keep on playing at the level that they are?
It's weird to say that maybe the body of work isn't there for Martin Jones. I mean, I think the simple answer, Frank, is yes. But you're looking at a great goaltender in Martin Jones, and you're looking at an elite performance by Marc-Andre Fleury in that first round. And you're right, numbers were good. There were some saves that Marc-Andre Fleury made that Kopitar won basically to save game four, being the freshest one that really stole a series. And when you win series, you have to have your goaltender playing at that level. So I think that this will be another goaltending matchup that the entire continent is going to want to watch. And Martin Jones's numbers are good. Let's see if Vegas can maybe change those numbers a little bit.
All right. Well, I have to ask you this, too, because we know that now NBC is now all of a sudden that the games really mean a lot. They're going to be showing all the games on all their networks and that kind of stuff. What is the game plan at AT&T Sportsnet from this point of the playoffs on?
Well, we are done, and we will sit back and we'll be fans like everybody else. We're always there to enjoy each other with social media and stuff like that, and we're just going to have to enjoy the outstanding coverage that NBC can provide from here on out, and then come back and do it all again come preseason in September and October.
So you're more available for us, and we can enjoy your company more often.
Anytime you want, anytime like I find somebody I can talk hockey with, you know me. You know me. Anytime, fellas.
So does that mean that Keith Jones is going to lay claim to your seat in the arena, or like are you more of a Jeremy Roenick can have my seat but not Keith Jones type of guy?
Well, I'm going to let JR, who came up and said hi to us at game one. He was doing a party segment for NBC there at T-Mobile Arena. JR and Brad May can fight it out, and then like I said, Liam McHugh and I will just we'll just take turns.
Yeah, I heard
the smaller guys on the crew.
I heard that Jeremy Roenick said that Marc-Andre Fleury is turning into a pretty good goalie.
Yes, he did.
He's a superstar on the rise.
On the rise.
He's also in a Hotels.com commercial. That's an obvious.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Connor. I look forward to seeing you soon and everything. And I guess go Knights go, huh?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me all season, boys. It's been a lot of fun. It's been fun to work with you, and you guys have turned into great friends as well. And my thanks to the entire city of Las Vegas for making us part of the family. It really was a pleasure and an honor, and I know I speak for the entire group when we're forever grateful. So thank you, and like you said, go Knights go.
Yeah, it sounds good. And remember, there's no locks on our studio. The door's always open for you, my friend.
You bet. I'm coming in.
All right. Connor McGahee there. Does a great job. Mm-hmm. That has been one of my favorite things about this season. I was looking forward to the NHL coming here, and I was looking forward to being able to talk hockey on the air again and talk with other people and see the passion and see how the community would envelop themselves around this team. And that we mentioned it in the preseason that we didn't think the city knew what was about to hit them. But meeting guys like Connor McGahee and all the other guys and Knighty and Gosher and Dan Duva and then the coaching staff and everything else, it has been so rewarding to just be part of all that and really see other people with the same passion that I've always kind of had burning, and I know Ryan's always had burning, and we all have a little bit, but now to be able to share it with other people on a major league professional level is just awesome.
And to really get to know a lot of the people in the press pool, like I said, not just locally, but the people that we've gotten to know nationally, and you sort of enter it with a little bit of trepidation about, people trying to scoop each other and that there's going to be that competitive backstabbing nature of that. We haven't found that in the press pool. It's been some really great people to get to work with and to get to know, and for them to welcome us in, it was really kind of them, and I appreciate that.
It's the greatest experience of my professional career.
All right, and it hopefully it continues on, and of course we'll still be on in the off season of that too, but let's hope that's not for quite a while yet. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. When we come back and to wrap it up, we did a lot of talk about goaltenders here. There is a potential, he's going to be a Hall of Fame goalie who had an opportunity that he could have left this year, and he said, no, I don't want to go for greener pastures. I want to make these pastures green. We'll tell you who that is next, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Welcome back. Final go-around here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman. And we've been talking a lot about goalies today. Well, certainly the New York Rangers have had a guy between the pipes for many years who I believe will be a Hall of Famer someday, Henrik Lundqvist. Recently, James Dolan, executive chairman of the Madison Square Garden Company, told the New York Post Larry Brooks that they offered to trade Lundqvist during the season so that they would find a nice spot for him. Now, remember, this is a team that shipped out veterans Ryan McDonagh and Rick Nash because they were basically doing a fire sale. Lundqvist told them that he wanted to stay and see things through. Dolan said, "I'm very happy that he feels that way. I think with him at the top of his game, that gives us our best chance of competing for a playoff spot next year." Ryan, I know you don't necessarily agree with this decision.
I mean, at some point, you have to be a little bit selfish as a professional athlete if your goal is to win the Stanley Cup. I don't truly believe that Henrik Lundqvist and the Rangers, where they're at today, where they're going to be at in 4 years, are going to even come close to competing for the Stanley Cup. I think Henrik Lundqvist, this was a missed opportunity and one that in 2 years' time he's going to look back on and say, man, I shouldn't have made that decision.
I just know how the New York public feels about Mike Richter. They feel the same way, really, about Henrik Lundqvist. And I guess if his decision is what is his legacy and what does he want to do in the community afterwards, I get it and I understand that. And there's something about being comfortable in the place that you're at that I can respect.
By the way, his contract runs through the 2020-21 season with an $8.5 million annual cap hit. And so that is where he sits in that situation. I don't think he wants to get rid of his Statue of Liberty mask.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I guess he doesn't want to win Stanley Cups and be a surefire Hall of Famer. I don't know.
Well, a surefire Hall of Famer, T.C. Martin, Sacramento Hall of Fame, he's next. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Have a great evening. The doctor's on the way.